I'm going to call to order the July 21st meeting of the Claremont County Public Library Board of Trustees. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Dawes?
I am here.
Mr. Ramos?
Here.
Ms. Lane? Ms. Katsinka?
Here.
Mr. Humphrey?
Here.
Ms. Bond?
Here.
Ms. Schluter?
Here.
Thank you. All right, let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Next on the agenda, may I have a motion to approve the June 16th meeting minutes as mailed, please?
If there are no corrections, I'll make that motion.
Mr. Humphrey makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Second. Bach.
Ms. Bach seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes. Do we have any public participation tonight? I'm seeing a no. All right, next item on the agenda is our BOT brief. Mr. Ramos.
Ohio Revised Code Section 3375.403 authorizes the Board of Library Trustees to contract for public library services with other entities. I didn't know that. I was surprised to see that we can contract with the general public, public or private schools, colleges, universities, professions, occupations, or business, and with boards of education for schools. So I guess that we can put that in our pocket in case we want more money and we want to sell some services. Judy, you don't look very about that, but it's a fact. I mean, that's what the law says.
I knew we could.
Oh, I
knew. We have. I don't believe we ever have, but I knew we could.
Chris doesn't seem real excited about that either.
Any thoughts or comments on that factoid? All right, now we all know. Thank you, Mr. Ramos. Next item on the agenda is our Get to Know the Library series, and it looks like we have Williamsburg up tonight.
I'd like to introduce everyone, once I turn this on, to Ashley Lemaster. You've seen before, but Ashley has recently been promoted to the manager of the Bethel branch. So in the meantime, she is still at the helm of Williamsburg, though. But we congratulate her and her promotion.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. No, I wasn't sure whether this was working or not, so I'll just try my fridge up. Or do I have to, like, turn it on? I could do that, too. Okay, now maybe? No?
There we go. I was like, I'll just yell really loudly. All right, so Chris already introduced me, so I'm Ashley Lemaster. I'm interim at Williamsburg, and thanks to Emily's move to Miami Township. So I will eventually be only Bethel, but I'm going to talk to you about Williamsburg today. I'll start off by introducing the staff and then sharing the branch history and discuss how we're implementing the strategic plan. So, the branch supervisor position is posted, but for now, I'm interim. I started at the Amelia branch as a page under Chris Wick, actually, way back in the day. And I have 12 years at the library, later joining the Williamsburg staff as library assistant and becoming an adult services specialist. I left Williamsburg for a short time to be what was system programmer at the time with CED. And then I was thrilled to return as a branch supervisor 2 years ago to Williamsburg and just recently made a change. Sky joined the library 8 years ago as a library assistant. She was quickly promoted to youth services specialist a few years ago, and she does a great job working with the Williamsburg schools. Katie is one of the system's most experienced LASs with 28 years at CCPL. Katie serves on many committees, including customer service, parade, and short story contest. She also chairs the staff recognition committee. Our other full-time LAS is Jadrian. They joined the library 2 years ago. Jadrian has a degree in graphic design and is an active member of the marketing and safety committees. J Josh is one of our two part-time LASs, and he has 6 years of experience with the CCPL. He's a member of Tech Discussion Group and is one of the branch's volunteer liaisons. And then Scott is our other part-time LAS who has been with the library for 4 years. He's our second volunteer liaison and a short story contest judge. The Williamsburg branch was built in response to the library's goal in the 80s to provide a branch within a 15-minute radius of all the Claremont County residents, so anyone could drive and get there. Our branch was dedicated on September 18, 1988. Marion Croswell, library board trustee, cut the ceremonial ribbon. In 2007, the branch was renamed the Marion G. Croswell Branch to honor Ms. Croswell's many years of service to the library. In 2017, collections and shelving were rearranged to create more display space, improve flow, and better utilize the space based on collection usage. Soon after, thanks to memorial donations honoring Ms. Croswell, tabletop electrical outlets were added, as well as new tables, chairs, and end tables were purchased. Furniture and decor in children's area were replaced in 2022. A big thing to note about Williamsburg is that circulation and other key performance indicators are not in sync. So while the branch is perpetually ninth in circulation, we are seventh in door count. In the past several years, we've been seventh in computer usage and fifth in Wi-Fi usage. We are sixth in the number of in-house and outreach events that we offer and seventh in the attendance. To me, they indicate that the branch is important to the village as a community gathering space and a technology provider. The Williamsburg branch is always working on building community connections. We have presented on library services at meetings of the Township Trustees, Village Council, and the School Board. We have an awesome relationship with Williamsburg Schools, which I'll discuss more later, and we're annually involved in town's two major events, big deals. During Christmas Walk, we stay open after hours and welcome hundreds of guests into the building, and each year we hear from many people that the library is the best stop in town, which is what we always want to hear. In the summertime, we always participate in the Juneau Williamsburg Festival. Our involvement in community also includes during outreach at schools, senior facilities, and community events. Sky, our youth services specialist, brings story times to Hugs and Kids Daycare monthly. Throughout the school year, we set up information tables at school open houses, participate in special events like Williamsburg Elementary's Academic Night, and make visits to promote summer reading. We also have information tables at community events like the Juneau Williamsburg Festival, National Night Out, and the Drive-Thru Mobile Food Pantry. We play an important role in providing senior enrichment in the community. I meet monthly for trivia with a small group at Lytle Trace, a senior apartment complex, and visit the Claremont Senior Services Adult Daycare at the Lodge, where I present a variety of activities. They insist that I keep the one with my pirate hat on there, so enjoy that. I don't always wear a pirate hat, but you never know. At Williamsburg, we really enjoy programming and producing engaging activities for all ages. Crafts programs for adults are very popular at this branch. It seems every time I finish one, they're like, when are you doing this again? And then I get to tell them about all the other cool programs and events we have going on throughout the system. A few recent program highlights includes the Solar Eclipse Necklace, Escape the Sphinx, Terrariums 101, Boba Tea, Winter Paint Along, and Bee House and Bath. And some notable teen programs include Cupcake Wars, Popsicle Canvas Art, Galaxy Crafts, and Cat Castles. We are pleased to be able to offer Teen Cafe weekly during the school year. This program, led by an intervention specialist from Greater Cincinnati Behavioral Health Services, is designed to encourage teens to live healthy, substance-free lives. Some recent favorite youth programs have included the Eclipse Open House, Camp Claremont, Play Hearts, Dog Man Open House, Halloween Open House, and Gingerbread Party. For our 0-5 crowd, we have weekly story times, and we also always have passive crafts and activity sheets for our visitors, as well as monthly scavenger hunts. Our branch staff utilizes warm, welcoming behaviors when engaging with guests. An indication of the staff's dedication to integrity and providing good customer service, participation in professional development activities is very high at Williamsburg. One of the ways we've embraced CCPL's new internal service standards is by structuring our staff meetings around the core concepts of communicate, cooperate, problem solve, and learn. An audience that comes to the branch and has a notable impact on is adults with developmental disabilities. The village has a large quantity of group homes, and their residents are regular library visitors. I recently spoke with an aide with one of the local group homes who thanked the library for always making the residents feel welcome, saying that we're one of the few places that they always feel that they can come. We always have a strong senior population as well as an after-school team, visitors. We create eye-catching displays that reflect the wide range of interests and needs within our community. Earlier, I mentioned that we have an excellent relationship with our local school district. Williamsburg was an early 3 for Me adopter, so it's had an amazing impact on our relationship with Williamsburg Elementary. Today, despite being a very small community, our branch has the 4th highest amount of 3 for Me cards that have been issued. Elementary classes visit the branch on a monthly basis to check out books, with 102 class visits in 2024. You can see just that was just like part of one class in the picture there that we could get. Williamsburg truly focuses on lifelong learning and provides programming that appeals to a wide range of interests within the community. I always try to put an educational spin on my adult programs. In my Constellation Embroidery, guests learn how to do basic stitches and also an ancient Greek story behind the stars. At Ancient Perfume, they learn about perfume and ancient cultures and then were able to make their own. In 2024, we had 300 in-house and off-site events with 5,744 guests attending. And yeah, that is another way to say I'm also a nerd, but you know, they like it, so. We make an effort to have senior friendly programming. For example, our book club that meets monthly is attended entirely by seniors. In order to appeal to seniors and working adults, I repeat the same program in the afternoon at 2 for the seniors and again in the evening for those folks that work. I appreciate the opportunity to tell you about the awesome things going on in Williamsburg. There are a few challenges I'd like to inform you about. As a small branch, space can be a concern. While I'm largely happy with the space for individual collections, we sometimes run into challenges when accommodating all of the ways we'd like to use the space. We have some limitation on the types of programs we have due to the meeting room size and lack of outdoor space. For instance, we can't host larger programs such as dance troops and outdoor-only animal visits like Mr. T, the African tortoise, which, you know, alas. But we had some other great animal programs. We know our guests would like us to have a study or quiet room, and class tours would feel less claustrophobic with a bigger children's area. The last will be especially important in light of new school construction I'll mention in a moment. A challenge you might not anticipate is that semi-regularly we have visitors comment that they're not sure if we're open. I think it's due to 2 factors. With Williamsburg being a walking community, it's not uncommon for people to think the building is closed because there aren't any cars out front, when in reality people have walked inside and they're sitting at the computers. You just can't see any cars. And another reason is the path to the front door slopes down from the parking lot, so it's difficult to see inside. As alluded to earlier, we do get an after-school crowd of middle high students. While we have behavioral issues from time to time, I think that's something we've really seen improve. The school tours are creating a generation of kids who have a relationship with the library from a young age, which helps position them to make a successful transition into being teen users. I believe the introduction of Teen Cafe, along with the staff using consistent behavioral enforcement techniques, has really helped rein in some of the after-school issues. I'm very excited to highlight an upcoming change in the community that will be impactful for the branch. As you may have heard, Williamsburg is getting a much-needed new elementary school right across the street from the library. The current plan is for the old building to be demolished in February 2026. The projected opening is the 27-28 school year. We anticipate that this will make it even easier to continue and expand our partnership with Williamsburg Elementary, in particular the class visits. It's a great opportunity for us to be visible to families during pickup and drop-off times. We expect that this will translate to increased attendance at after-school programming. We know there have been discussions of installing an outdoor digital sign at Williamsburg. It would be great to have that in place prior to the opening of the new school. It would be a chance to advertise services to a built-in audience, and it might also help people to know when we're open and closed. We'd also love to expand the children's area to better accommodate class visits. We've reached the limit of what we can do easily in terms of relocating collections without significantly updating the floor plan. But we are very excited. Thank you very much for your attention. If you haven't been out to Williamsburg recently, I encourage you to make a visit. If you do it by August 25th, I might still be there. But if you have questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions?
What was it you said about something that would be done to help people know the library is open? I missed that.
The electronic
sign. If we had an outdoor digital sign that had the hours and we could even like put specifically like outdoor by the front, I think that that would help.
That's our $50,000 sign that we had those on the in the budget that are on hold until we find out what the roof situation is going to be.
Yep.
Yep.
Thank you.
So if we have to prioritize, we get that message on, you know, which branch for, if we can only do one, that makes sense. We'll see. We got to get that estimate for the roof. Judy's giving me a look. I will say I do really appreciate what you said about your book club having a session in the evening for people who work and can't get there during the day. I've often wanted to go to a book club, but they're always during working hours, so that's difficult to do that. So I think that's great that you guys take that into consideration.
Always try to keep that in mind. Because everyone needs different accommodations for different times.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay. Next on our agenda is fiscal officer's reports.
I have the June financial report consisting of the bank reconciliation, the check register, which looks low this month, the month-to-date, year-to-date bank and fund reports, our end-of-month balancing report. Sorry. Our PLF, our state funding recap, and then our donation and gift resolution, our obsolete inventory resolution, and our check description supplemental information.
Any questions on any of the fiscal reports? I'm seeing none, so all right. May I have a motion to approve the June 2025 financial reports, please?
So move.
All right, Mr. Ramos makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Second, Schluter.
Ms. Schluter seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Next, I need a motion to approve the June 2025 bills paid as submitted.
Motion.
Ms. Bach makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Ramos seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. And last, a motion to approve the June 2025 bill paid for Anthem only. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Ms. Kasika makes a motion. Mr. Humphrey seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Let the record show that I abstain. Any other comments from the fiscal office before we move on to the director's report? Do you want to give an update on the audit?
Yes, they're still working on the 2024 audit. They're hoping to be done by the end of this month, and I am sure hoping they're accurate on that. So,
which is what, another 10 days roughly? So it's not as far away as it seems.
Less 10 days,
okay.
So,
okay.
We're hoping to wrap that up.
All right. Any questions for the fiscal office? All right, guys. Chris, you're up for director's report.
Okay. Passed out a couple of things. In front of you are the winners of, these are just various, not everybody got the same bookmark, so there was a number of three different categories and age groups. But the bookmark contest, the summer reading bookmark contest, so I hope you enjoy those. Everybody got two of those. And you also got the invitation to Teresa Heron's retirement party. This is her last board meeting, her last Monday with us. I called and sang her a happy last Monday song today.
But she's going to come for public participation and sit and watch us, right? Because you're going to miss us so much. She just gave me this look.
And then as part of succession planning and getting Andrea exposed to more administrative duties and through the suggestion of Jenny Doss, it was having Andrea participate more in board meetings. So we decided to jointly create the director's report so you can see what sections I prepared, what sections she's prepared. So I'll dive into mine is an update on the funding and legislative update. So as you all know, by fiscal year 26 started July 1st, we have moved from a percentage of this general revenue to line item funding. So we have a designated amount every year that's being divided up amongst Ohio public libraries. So fiscal year 26 is $479.7 million, and then fiscal year 27 is $489.7 million. I feel like this is going in and out.
It is.
Okay. Melanie and I had a meeting to discuss the PLF distribution that we got in July, and we conferred with the Ohio Library Council. That is the first payment of fiscal year 26, and we're not sure if that is going to be a consistent amount every month. We will find out, I think, before the end of the month what those payments are going to be. So stay tuned about that. Mr. Ramos, did you understand all of the language relating to the reduction of board terms from 7 years to 4 years? And maybe if everybody else is as confused as I am when reading this, that could perhaps be the August
brief.
That would be wonderful.
You mean when you turned page two and all of a sudden it was 7 years?
This is an exact copy of the wording in the bill. I just pulled it out of that. So I'm assuming this is where the language ended up. Also, as you know, the legislature was called back to Columbus. The House of Representatives was called back to Columbus today. And we did get an update from the Ohio Library Council that I'll read to you. Initially, the House intended to override three specific vetoes concerning county budget commissions, the school district's $20 million floor calculation, and the elimination of various tax levies. However, the House only secured enough votes to override the veto-related tax levies, which include the elimination of replacement levies. So it sounds like the concern about the county budget commissions has been deferred for now. That's pretty much the update on the changes to the budget. They did not discuss the materials issue. I did have a conversation with Representative Byrd earlier last week, and he said that he expects that may come back before the House in the fall, that they will perhaps reconsider that issue.
Do you know what the votes of our representatives
were? No, I didn't have a chance to look it up. I got this late in the day, so. Yeah.
I saw the notification.
Yeah, I was going to look. I was interested. Wanted to look and see.
Right.
All right. I'm going to turn it over to Andrea for the next section.
Thank you.
Building on the results of the community survey, the next strategic plan will center on increasing visibility and accessibility of the library, because a common theme that we saw was the lack of awareness that guests have for the library. And that there needs to be a significant need to raise that awareness of the full range of services, collection, and programs that the library offers. So we've convened a group who worked on the community survey, and they've all agreed to be part of the strategic plan, so I'll be heading that up. And as it says in the director's note, it's a forward-looking blueprint that builds on the community input and staff insight, strengthening the library's role as an essential, inclusive, vibrant public resource. And then also, as part of America 250 Claremont, we have assembled a committee within the library to provide programming for America 250, because we've been tapped by the Visitors Bureau along with the schools to offer program. So Emily Wickman here at the Miami Township branch is heading up the committee of programmers. And she's done an extensive list looking at the monthly themes for Ohio and how we can incorporate library programs to build on those themes. So I'm really excited about the programming that we'll do in 2026 as part of America 250.
Andrea, has the state chosen the 12 categories for the 12 months, and then you individually through the every county will have some participation in their interpretation
of the,
that particular.
Correct, of those
focus.
Things.
Okay.
Yeah. So like ones like Ohio Transportation. So
right.
We've talked about how we can incorporate that along with like meeting our community members. So what is a licensed term of touch a truck, we wouldn't use that because it has a licensing fee, but explore a truck would be a program that we look to offer where the community can come out and see, you know, it's the garbage truck or it's the road services trucks, or those are always popular with people to see trucks. So that's just an example of how we're looking at those themes and then how we can provide programming. So not everything is a historical element to it. And like the December month is Ohio looking forward. So that's one that's like looking into the future.
You may not be aware of this yet, but Andrea is very strategic and very visionary. And one thing I want to add to toot your horn is that part of the goals that she was working with Emily on is driving foot traffic back to the library as part of these programs. That we wouldn't hold them off site or something like that, or partner out in the community. We want to partner and bring people into the library. So I thought that was really great. Wanted to give her the shout out for that. Library to go vehicle has been completely outfitted. So our two vehicles are done. We've got the shelving that's been purchased by the grant funds, has been installed and it's been wrapped, so we're excited to get that underway. There is a driving manual that's being finalized. It's, I guess, final at this point since I wrote this. And the designated van drivers will be required to read the manual and take a test as part of the driver orientation process. So the facilities department will onboard and do the training, and then they will read the manual and take a test before they can take and use the van. There's quite a bit going on in terms of management updates. We got, obviously we've talked about Ashley's promotion, but as many of you know, once a position opens up, there's a lot of trickle down, trickle. So a domino effect. I knew from the beginning when Library to Go was going to grow and get bigger and bigger that we would eventually have to pull Batavia and Owensville apart. So that was kind of been the long-term plan. And at this point, it has grown large enough for Chris Rich to dedicate all of his time to growing that service. So we have pulled Batavia and Owensville apart. Amy Matheny has accepted the position of branch manager for Batavia. She is currently the supervisor. She's done a fabulous job, so she will be the branch manager. And then we are going to join because we like that shared model, because there's shared staffing, shared programming, and we've had Chris and Amy do Batavia and Owensville, and Ashley and Emily doing Bethel-Williamsburg. We're now going to pair Batavia and Williamsburg. These branches are pretty evenly matched as far as location, and they'll be easy to access each other, and obviously the services are the same with Batavia and Library to Go. Those are starting to become difficult to manage providing service across those two partnerships. So those have been split. Emily is now here at Miami Township, which created the opening at Bethel, and that created the opening at Williamsburg. So we have a posting for Williamsburg, and now that we have the Batavia position filled, then Amy will be participating in the interviewing for the supervisor over at Williamsburg. Losing my place in all of these changes. Lynn Barrett has been appointed the manager of the Information Services Department, and obviously comes with 30-something years of experience, 36 years of experience. Lynn does a great job, and we have posted a Supervisor 2 position that was filled by Casey Ritchie. She was the manager at the Union Township branch. She had expressed interest for a while of coming over and doing IT, so this was an opportunity that it was a really good fit. So that created an opening at Union Township. We currently have Lisa Breithaupt covering as interim manager at Union Township, and Morgan Malin, who is the youth services at Goshen, and Andrea are acting as co-interim managers of Goshen. And that does not mean that Andrea is spending all of her time there, but is able to cover and support and provide some training and onboarding with Morgan in these supervisory roles. So that is the big changes there. Is there anything else? Beth Barker is, who was our HR assistant. You guys remember Beth used to take the meeting notes, minutes, is now at Goshen, and an HR specialist has been posted to fill that role. And we have pretty much completed the evaluation of the frosted positions. So they've either been filled, posted, or strategically reassigned. So we're close to, I know Mr. Humphreys mentioned a few times of, you know, the status of those, so we're close to getting those filled. Next is updates on the Bethel roof. The consultant did an inspection. We're awaiting the report. They're going to do a water test as well, and the consultant should be at the August 4th meeting to give the report on the condition of the roof.
Is the water test the reason why we haven't seen anything yet? Because just the timing of that? Because
he did the test on June 13th, and Don is on vacation this week, so I don't know. The report has not come in, and then they are going to do the water test as well.
Okay.
So I haven't seen the report, but it may have come in while Don's been on vacation. The update to the Miami Township parking there, it's at Permit Central at the county, so apparently they have a backlog, so that's what the holdup is there, but everything else is ready to go with that. And then the Imagination Library numbers as usual. So that is my report.
And question as well,
yeah,
about the additional lockers that are going to go out,
yes,
front here.
Yes.
What's the timeline on those? Do we know?
I will defer to Lynn Baird, who is responsible for the install of the lockers. Lynn, would you like to give an update on that?
Yes. There are a number of pieces and vendors involved in that process. It's not just us hauling them out there and installing them.
Sure.
We have locker vendors and the rack vendor. So we are targeting the first week or two of September.
Okay.
To get everyone in place at the right time.
And those are going to go, Lynn, in the same like space that the current ones are located? Is,
yes,
that the idea?
If you are here at Miami Township,
right,
if you are standing looking at the lockers, the new unit will go to the left of the current units.
Okay.
The opposite side of the doors.
Yes, toward the doors. Uh-huh.
So, Chris, I do, when I was walking in, and I had talked to Chris about this before because I cruised through a couple weekends ago on a Sunday to get books out of the locker, and the bushes out front with the landscaping can create a bit of a screen. So, you know, you're kind of looking to make sure there's nobody hanging out, you know, when you're walking up to those lockers, because you can't see around the corner there. So I think I had made a comment of maybe when we're doing the handicap spaces that maybe we can reevaluate that landscaping so that we have a nice clear view to the lockers if you're walking up on that approach.
Safety.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And better visibility of the lockers,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so sounds like that's still a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I'm excited. I always feel guilty because I'm using the lockers all the time, and I'm like, that means somebody else can't use a locker, but more lockers will make me feel a little less guilty about doing that, I guess.
So new lockers at Miami Township and Union Township.
That's awesome.
They really get a lot of use.
Thanks, Lynn.
We're looking at the door counts. We're a little bit ahead of where we were in 2024. This time, and that's it. That's all I've got.
Did you hit the Imagination Library?
I did. I just called attention to it.
Fair enough. Awesome. Any questions for our director or our assistant director?
That's a lot of shuffling. A lot of snapshots.
I feel like it is a lot.
And I followed it without a flow chart, which is kudos to you guys for laying that out nicely. And Andrew, are you going out to Goshen? That gets you out into the branch too, which is good. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Hope to make it around all our branches, you know, after this.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, as you know, Andrew is head of public services, but also the assistant director manages the branch managers. And I have been managing the branch managers since Leslie retired last year. Is that 2 years ago? I don't know. I can't remember. Last year. But prior to that, I was, when Julie left, that's what it was, when Julie left Leslie to have more time to dedicate to filling in at HR, I took on the branch managers, and I've been maintaining that until the beginning of the performance year, which starts 8/1. So come 8/1, then the branch managers will start reporting to Andrea. And we've done, I think, a really good job onboarding them. She's come with me to all the quarterly meetings and talked to all the branch managers in the quarterly meetings. And I have a set of expectations that I've always used for my new managers. And we work together to revise and update that so all the managers will have the same set of expectations across the board. So I thought that was really good work, too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Are we going to have a presentation on community engagement?
We are.
Excellent.
I've been putting it off because this is the last time. Teresa will be addressing the board. And then we also have an introduction of our new community engagement manager, Dot Crane. So she will be talking a little bit about herself as well. So I'll turn it over to Teresa.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, everybody. Starting Monday, July 28th, next Monday, Community Engagement Department will be under new management. Dot Crane is taking over as manager, and I'm excited to see how she will use her extensive social media skills to make the library even more visible and trusted in Claremont County. And I'm giving the microphone to her so she can introduce herself a little bit.
Hi, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm very excited to join this team. I have more than a decade experience in digital marketing, with a lot of social media marketing experience, website optimization, and also search engine optimization, which is what helps people searching find your website. I'm very excited to join the team and help boost the signal and get the word out even more about all the services. Like, I had no idea all the things Claremont County Public Library offers. I don't live in the county, but when I looked it up and was interviewing, I was impressed by the wide range of services, and I'm excited to spread the word. So it's great to join you.
You want to talk a little bit about where you were before?
Oh, right. I was going to mention that. I should have made notes. I worked as a consultant in digital marketing quite a bit. I worked for the Port Authority in Cincinnati, but my most recent position was with the Northern Kentucky Convention and Visitors Bureau. And we worked with Visit Cincy. We combined forces to market the whole area as a destination. And so I was the director of content and research there. So I also have a keen interest in the numbers and seeing the results, the ROI, the website numbers, the social media analytics, like how well is this content really performing? Is it reaching people? Are they engaging with it? I'm always, always checking that, and I will nerd out about it too. People ask me, I'll bore you with numbers if you're interested. So anyway, thanks.
Thank you. All right, just a couple of updates. We love to read. Community goal is at 7.3 million minutes read so far, so we are very close, and we are very excited that we are almost to our 8 million goal. And we are looking for, once we get there, how we're going to start pushing it as how many minutes can we do in a year. So we're really excited to see how that works out. This was the brainchild of Chris, our director, and this EED staff makes it happen. And it's a great example of how staff who don't work in the branches are active behind the scenes to encourage the public to be involved in our public library, to come through the front doors and use our library services. Also, we're in the middle of summer reading. I should say we've only got 10 days of summer reading left. But so far we have 6,768 registered. That's 4% above last year so far, and we're still pushing to make sure we get even more signed up. Guests have recorded 3.3 million minutes of reading spent so far, so we're happy with those numbers, and there's still 10 days to go, so if you guys haven't signed up, you still have time to sign up and record those minutes. We've been working hard on a new website, and everything is ready to go, and it will be launched soon. The catalog will have a much better experience for our guests, and the website will have a whole new look. So we're really excited that we're coming to the conclusion of this year-long process, it seems like. All of this work and more is illustrating how the Community Engagement Department continues to work diligently to promote library programs, resources, and services, all of which are rooted in the library's core values of service, access, and education. Finally, this is my last meeting with the board. Thank you for the opportunity to serve the library, our community, and our staff. It's been a wonderful transition for me coming from journalism to the community engagement world. CED has some very dedicated staff members who truly want to serve the public. Their work creating informative and engaging and inspiring messages makes the library branches must-have community hubs. Most of all, I'm proud of the department's many accomplishments. I'm not going to miss the library because I intend to attend programs, and I can't sign up for some just quite yet, but they're coming. And I continue to check out books, even though most of them are the digital variety, as Chris and I are both of that nature. And Jenny, to your question about meetings, as Ed knows and Judy knows very well, I have spent 40 years attending meetings.
Darn it.
So this might be your last one.
So no offense, guys, but really this is the last one.
I had to ask, Teresa. I had to
ask.
Thank
you for your time this evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Enjoy your retirement. We will miss seeing you at the meetings.
I just want to make sure that everyone's aware of the incredible work that Teresa's done over the last 11 years, I believe. She has updated, I think, once a decade, updated the website. What's that?
This is the third time.
Third time. So, and then she's updated the newsletter. She's really transitioned us into a much more modern library. You know, we're seeing a lot of changes. And she's done fabulous work. She's been a great sounding board for me. I will miss you terribly and appreciate all the work you've done. Thank you.
Have a moment. I have a question. When will the new website be going live? When will the new website be rolled out?
We were hoping last Tuesday,
okay.
And then we ran into some problems with the connections with the discovery layer.
Okay.
And today we were talking at our weekly meeting, and we think that that's going to be solved in a couple weeks. And then we're going to have a week or so to retrain staff on how to do old, basically.
Okay.
So we're looking at August 14.
Okay. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm excited.
Just to remind everybody, the catalog and the website are really, really integrated. It's one vendor. We're not cobbling together a bunch of different vendors mm-hmm. now. So it will make for a really, really cool service where, like, programming might pop up in a catalog search. So if you're doing a search for gardening, gardening books, a gardening program could pop up. So it's going to be really dynamic and really interesting. It's just, you know, marrying those two. You have to have the catalog ready before you can get that website with the way that they're going to be integrated. So just have a few little tweaks that they're working out, and they are working really hard.
Excited.
They've been doing a great job.
I'm all excited.
It's part of Clarivate, which is part of Innovative. So they have, and Lynn can speak to this and Teresa better than I, but they have an onboarding team. They have regular meetings every week, and they help set it up. So Laura Eckert, who's the digital specialist, has really been doing a lot of the backbone of the work. She's done a fabulous, fabulous job working in conjunction with a team lead at Clarivate. Did I report that accurately?
Yes. So since we don't get a preview, we have to wait, mm-hmm. and I'm not patient.
Well,
will you give us like an email blast that says, go look, okay. I'm just excited about it.
I have the microphone, so Teresa wants me to mention, just to let you all know, there are three different departments working on the website and the catalog. Teresa's department and Laura Eckert have done an awesome job on the website. On the discovery layer side, the IS department, our system administrator, ILS, Jess Bell, she's been doing a ton of work and working with the collection services department. Of course, it's given that they make sure that we have access to all of our records for all of our things we own in our catalog. They have an interest in the new catalog and how it's working. So we're all working together to make that, you know, an absolutely awesome experience we're going to give our guests. So thank you.
They've done great collaborative work. I'm really proud of them.
I mean, it's not just a simple thing of, oh, well, we're going to switch to a new format or a new look, or there's so many components to it. I'm just excited to see it. Yeah. Great job.
We're excited to show it to you.
I'm excited to see it. All right. Any questions about community engagement? All right. Next item on the agenda, old business. Just an update on the virtual meeting policy. At our last meeting, I had very optimistically said that we would probably have an update to the virtual meeting policy for board review at this meeting. Schedules did not allow that, so we will be looking at setting a date for the next policy and bylaw committee meeting so that we can get that drafted and brought back to the board in August. So apologies for the delay on that, but schedules were just kind of tough this past month.
It's not a big deal unless we want to have a virtual meeting.
Right, it's true. I want to make sure that we have our documentation. You know how I am, Matt. I like to have that compliant, you know, policy so that plan for the worst so you can be pleasantly surprised. All right, next item, new business. So we've got some resolutions here. Resolution 2025-18, which is acceptance of gifts to the library donations as listed. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Ms. Kasika makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Second. Bach.
Ms. Bach seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes. Next item is Resolution 2025-19, which is disposal of unneeded or obsolete library inventory. Do I have a motion?
So
moved. Ms. Schluter makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Bach, second.
Ms. Bach seconds. May I have a roll call vote, please?
Ms. Dawes?
Yes.
Mr. Ramos?
Yes.
Ms. Wade?
Yes.
Ms. Kasika?
Yes.
Mr. Humphrey?
Yes.
Ms. Bach?
Yes.
Ms. Schluter?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes. All right. Any other items that we want to talk about before we move to the next item on the agenda there?
I think the room set up looks good to me.
I gotta get used to it.
We all do.
I like my back to the wall. I'm trying to get used to it. But yeah, that was a little more efficient time-wise. Hopefully that wasn't too much trouble to set up, but thank you for staff for getting that all set up. Thank you, Mr. Humphrey.
Just further away from where it was previously and much closer up, so, you know, before. But
yeah.
Maybe the tables up. We'll have to check the technology to see if
that works. All right, so just housekeeping. Next meeting is August 18th. Immediately after this meeting, do not get up, do not leave. We have our annual records commission meeting that we have to have. That's going to start as soon as we adjourn, and our fiscal office is going to run that meeting. Right?
Yes.
Still? Okay. So if there's nothing else, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So
moved. Mr. Humphrey makes the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Ramos seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, let's say that we are adjourning the regular board meeting at 6:50 p.m.